John chapter number 15 tonight, if you would. I'm going to read a verse of scripture tonight with the help of the Lord, and this microphone works with me. Still finishing, we're dealing with our happy biblical marriage. And I had six biblical keys I was going to share that I shared with the church and shared with each one to have a happy biblical marriage. And we studied all those keys. Tonight we're going to look at the last key, which is the sixth one. And I'm going to just kind of highlight a little bit of the other keys that we talked about and then briefly discuss the sixth key. And we'll just ask the Lord to help us tonight. Amen. John chapter 15, verse number 5. The Bible says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. As we've studied the keys to biblical marriage, a happy biblical marriage, we've studied those keys, we've learned that the fruits of the Spirit is what we're to be bearing in our marriage. We've talked about several different things, and love being one of those fruits that we're to bear. And the Bible here says, and the Lord is speaking, of course, and He says, He is the vine, we're the branches, and if we abide in Him and He in us, we can certainly bring forth that fruit. It says, for without me, you can do nothing. So without Christ, we are nothing. We can do nothing. Scripture also says, for with Christ, all things are possible. Amen. With God, all things are possible. We can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. So obviously tonight, the sixth key is Christ. How to have a happy biblical marriage, the sixth key is the greatest key of all keys, and that is Christ. For without Him, Scripture says, you can do nothing. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight for the privilege you've given us back in your house tonight. I thank you, Lord, for the songs we were able to sing tonight. Thank you, Lord, for being able to sing and not have to be perfect at that. Bless your sweet, loving name tonight, Father. Lord, just for the privilege and opportunity you give us to serve you. And thank you for the songs that we're able to sing, Father. Thank you for Jesus Christ, who is precious to us. Father, I pray that goes much deeper than just the song, that He is precious to each one of us tonight. I pray, Lord, as we look at this sixth key of happy biblical marriage, we all understand the importance of having Christ in the center of our marriage. I pray, God, tonight you illuminate my mind, guard these lips of clay, and help me to say that that's needful and necessary in this hour. Be sure to thank you and praise you for all that's accomplished here tonight. In Jesus' living name we pray, amen and amen. As we look at this passage of Scripture, we understand, as I said already, that we certainly can do nothing without Christ, and Christ must be preeminent in our life. To have a happy biblical marriage, it must start. The greatest key of all is having Christ in our marriage and in our life. First of all, He must be in our life before He can ever be in our marriage. Amen. I know there's a lot of marriages, there's a lot of families that are dysfunctional. There's a lot of marriages and families that are split simply because one has Christ in their life and the other does not. There's other reasons for that. Families being that way, some are both parties are not doesn't have Christ in their life, and they fuss and argue and bicker all the time. And their life and marriage just never works because you can't put two independent gears together and synchronize them together without the Lord. For without Him, you cannot do anything. So as we study that tonight, look at the keys. I want to go back over the five keys that we talked about real briefly tonight. And looking at the first key that we discussed, the first one was maturity. That key, being mature. Learning to grow up. The key was best described as being unselfish. You and I in our marriage must understand, those that are married must understand it's not about me and I and myself, but it's about us serving the Lord together and us doing things that pleases the Lord. Husbands are to love their wives more than themselves. No man ever not took care of himself. Everybody likes to take care of themselves. And a man that won't take care of himself has a problem to begin with. Amen. But man is to love his wife as Christ loved the church and give himself for her. That's a sacrificial love. In order to do that and have that kind of love, a man must mature. He must grow up. Not only grow up physically, but he must also grow up spiritually. Amen? He must mature in the Lord. Marriage consists of a series of actions and reactions motivated by our conscious and subconscious mind. There's different things that take place. The more active people are, the more potential areas of conflict they can expect to have. If they just sit around and never do nothing and never go anywhere, then they won't have a whole lot to fuss about. Won't have a whole lot of conflict. But you take a couple that's willing to go and do and work and be active, they'll have areas where there's conflict. And there's nothing wrong with conflict. Conflict happens. Doesn't matter. The greatest of all people have conflict. It's how we deal with that conflict that's what matters. That's where maturity comes in. Talked about that several times already. We understand that conflict doesn't have to be fatal. It doesn't have to be detrimental to the marriage. It doesn't have to be fatal to individuals. By God's grace, two mature people can face their areas of conflict, discuss them, and by obeying the Word of God, they can resolve their conflict. All that is based on God's Word. And if God says it, you better believe it. Amen? Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, the Bible says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Let not every man, or look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." In other words, we're to get along with each other, esteem others better than ourselves. You know, a lot of people like to pat themselves on the back. But it'd be better to pat somebody else on the back instead of yourself. Scripture says esteem others better than ourselves. Husbands, esteem that wife better than you. Amen. Wives, do the same to the husband. That's Bible. That's maturity. That's learning to live with each other, resolving matters. And in all lowliness of mind, esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but on every man also on the things of others. Look at others and what their needs are. Don't be so selfish. Maturity is best described as unselfish. That's the first key that we talked about. Then we talked about the second key in having a happy biblical marriage, and that was the key of submission. That's one word that a lot of people don't like to hear in our days, the word submission. There must be submission. It's biblical that the Christian wife be submitted unto the Christian husband. Amen. That's Bible. Now, I know there's a lot of controversy. There's a lot of questions about if the husband's unsaved, is the wife to be submissive to her husband? There's the question, should she go to the bar with him if he asks her to go because he is the leader of their home? If he is not following God, he is not a godly father, a godly husband, then by no means should a Christian wife follow her husband into something that's wrong and against God. Amen. The Scripture plainly says it's better to obey God than man. Yeah. Amen? And so that settles that matter. It is never biblical, it's never right for a saved woman to follow a lost husband into the hell holes of the world. Right. It's never right to do that. It's always best to stand against such wickedness and stand for God. God will bless you and her for doing so. The Christian woman is to be in subjection to her husband. They both are to be in subjection to the Lord. I've often had to help people in trying to understand this thing of submission. If the husband is wayward and away from God and not saved and is living in sin, known sin, and the wife is saved and they live together, the Scripture deals with them two living together. If they are pleased to dwell with one another and they get along with each other, they live with each other, that's well, that's okay. And hopefully by her behavior, the Scripture says, she'll win the husband. That behavior has been faithful to God and standing against the things that he does that's wrong against the Bible. That's submission. Submission to God first and then to the husband. But the Scripture also teaches that the husband and wives are to be submitted one to another. As the husband is submitted unto God, the wife is submitted unto the husband, and them two are submitted to God. That makes a happy biblical marriage. Subjection is not slavery. It doesn't mean a woman can't voice her opinion by speaking truth and love. But it does mean in order to be obedient to the Lord, she is to be in subjection to her husband. And the scripture teaches us that if she sows in submission, she will reap in blessings. That's biblical. That's the Bible way of having a happy biblical marriage. The third key was that we discussed and talked about was the key of love. Talked about that key which guarantees a happy marriage. The husband is to love his wife sacrificially, as I mentioned already, as Christ loved the church, and give himself for the wife. A lot of times we think of that as giving himself as in some fatal accident or some situation where he has to jump in front of a bullet and give himself for his wife. That's a good idea too, but I believe the scripture is plainly speaking and telling us that the husband is to work by the sweat of his brow, give himself, amen, for the well-being of his wife. She can have what she needs, and she don't have to beg and plead and borrow and steal, amen. She can have what she needs because the husband has given himself to work, amen, and to supply the need for his family. That's Bible also. We'll work on that on Father's Day, amen. Listen, the husband is to love his wife. Give himself for it. It's not, I know there's a lot of men that have a lot of toys. Don't get twisted up on me when I say this. There ain't nothing wrong with having toys. There's nothing wrong with having things that you like. There's nothing wrong with that. But I know men, I've met men that have rooms and have buildings. And I've met this one gentleman in South Carolina. We had the girls' home ministry. And his wife was a very sweet lady. Loved that dear lady to death. She'd give her left arm to you if she could. I mean, she was just a dear, sweet, godly woman. Love the Lord, love missions, love God's people. And she would take us into her house and we'd let us stay in the overflow room they had. And I mean, just really good to all the girls. She'd get up in the morning and cook breakfast for us. I mean, she loved it when we came to South Carolina. She begged us to come and stay. And her husband would take us out, took me out to one of the rooms. And I'm talking about the room was bigger than this church. And on the walls was all kinds of animals that he killed and all kinds of trophies that he made and won and all kinds of things that he did. And he stayed gone a lot of the time because he had things he wanted to do. And all these trophies hanging on the wall. And I often thought many times, son, you got a trophy. You don't even realize what you have. His dear wife that he would leave behind and go out and do all this stuff. She eventually, God took her home. She developed cancer. And Dr. Benny Beckham knows this dear lady. Dr. Benny Beckham often referred to her in some of his books. What a godly lady she was. But this husband that had all these trophies and all these things and all these cars and, I mean, just all kinds of worldly possessions, but yet the very trophy that he had before him was his wife. God took her home. Well, you better love her. Amen. There ain't nothing wrong with having things, but whenever things have us and we're more focused on that than we are the love of our life, and we got problems. Amen. Love is the third key that it guarantees a happy marriage. That the husband should love his wife and give himself for her. That love, the love that God requires for a husband to his wife and a wife to her husband, is a supernatural love. It's something the world does not know anything about. This world only knows about lust. Every time you turn the television on, it's something lustful. Every billboard you find, it's something lustful. That's all this world knows is lust. They do not know the supernatural love that God puts in a born-again believer's heart. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 7, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Love is kind. We discussed that when we talked about the third key, that love is kind. We show kindness to others, and especially to our spouse, because we love them. It's very rude sometimes the way men treat their wives. It's okay to still hold their hand. It's okay to still open doors for them. Amen. It's okay to do that. That's being kind. Love is kind. It's okay to get up and go get them something to drink. It's okay to treat them nice. I can't believe you ladies ain't shouting the house down right now. I'm trying to help you. Love is kind. So we understand that we're kind to our spouse because we love them. Amen. Wives, to love their husbands and be kind to them. The Bible speaks of being in the house of a brawling woman. I'd rather be on the rooftop. Amen. Be inside the house of a brawling woman. Love is kind. Love can, listen, the scripture teaches us not only is love kind, but love also shows approval. And we dealt with that and how we show that we approve, given the approval of something that's been done. The wife cleans the house up, tell her what a great job she did. She ironed your clothes and tell her what a great job she did. Thank you, honey, for ironing my clothes. Y'all know what iron is, right? My wife irons my clothes, and I thank her for that. I try to do it every once in a while, and I make such a mess, she forbid me to do it again. I appreciate her doing that, amen? And I tell her so. She has my approval. I don't have hers when it comes to ironing clothes. But love shows approval, amen? There's lots of other things we could talk about tonight, but I'm not going to re-preach all that. We already talked about all that. Love is kind. Love shows approval. Love can be rekindled. A lot of times people say that they've fallen out of love with someone. I beg to differ with you. I don't believe that that's a possibility to fall out of love with someone you once loved. If you truly love them, how in the world would you ever fall out of love? Show me where that's in the Bible. I don't see that anywhere in the Bible. What happens is the world, the flesh, and the devil gets involved. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Those things gets involved, and your love begins to deter from the one that you love to the things of the world or to that temptation that's been put before you. So we have to certainly pray and ask God to help us. Those things happen because love can be rekindled. We talked about the supernatural love, and we all know, men, you ought to say amen right here, women respond to love. You love her, she'll respond. It's a guarantee. How to have a happy biblical marriage? The third key was to love. Understanding a godly love. And love your spouse with a godly love. The fourth key we talked about was communication. We discussed the fact of it being a lack of communication or the wrong communication. There's a problem with not communicating, and there's a problem when we communicate the wrong way. Shouting, screaming at the top of our lungs, acting a fool, is wrong. Amen. That's sin. That's not the biblical way. Communicating under pressure, that can be omitted in every marriage. Communication, listen, the wrong way, under pressure, under anger, can be omitted in every marriage. We go back to the third key, that key of love, which shows kindness. Which shows approval. That helps us to communicate a whole lot better than what we used to. We dealt with the things that tear down the walls of communication. We dealt with that thing called explosion. That tears down the wall of communication. When someone says something, your spouse says something, and you explode on them, that tears down the wall of communication. Once you've exploded, most of the time, nobody wants to talk to you. Amen. Snap off and blow off a little steam. It's going to be quiet for a little while because nobody wants to talk to you. Amen. That explosion can tear down the wall of communication. We dealt with tears. Tears down the wall of communication. A lot of women, we dealt with that, how they cry more often than men do. Not saying that men shouldn't cry. Men ought to cry. I think it'll do a lot of men good to cry. Amen. Nothing wrong with that. I used to think for years that I was manly and I couldn't cry. Men don't show tears. I found out I was wrong. Amen. Scripture teaches a lot about showing tears and shedding tears. Tears in a marriage sometimes would stop communication because we know they're upset and we won't speak, we won't talk because we don't know what to say. Then we dealt with in communication, we also dealt with that communication wall was tore down by this little thing called silence. Getting the silent treatment. I know my wife tells the story how as a child her dad got mad at her and for 2 solid weeks never spoke to her. I don't agree with that either. That's not biblical. He wasn't a church-going individual. There's something that went on in their life as a child and she made him upset and he didn't speak. A lot of times that what happens in a home will happen in a marriage. They'll take that into the marriage. The things they watch mom and daddy do, they'll take that into their marriage. And there's times when mamas and daddies will get angry and they won't speak to each other and the children will think it's their fault. You better be careful with that wall of communication. Whenever that silence begins to break down that communication, the children will see that and the children will think it's their fault you're not communicating. They'll think they've done something wrong. You better watch that and better be very careful with that. Amen. Communication is the fourth key to biblical marriage. A happy biblical marriage. Last Thursday night, I believe it was, we dealt with the fifth key being the key of prayer. How we need to pray. How we need to pray for our spouse. How we need to pray for ourselves. We dealt with the thought that's been given many times of how a family that prays together stays together. Family that don't pray together, sometimes they don't stay together. But a family that prays together stays together. We dealt with finding a secret place of prayer for yourself. Find you a secret place, mama. Find you a secret place, daddy. Amen. Husband, father, find you a secret place. We dealt with that, how we're to deal with things on our own, in our own life. Deal with our sin. In the secret place. Take those things to God in prayer. Pray for our wife. Pray for our children. I said this the other night. I'll say it again. It's a sad day whenever a mom and daddy won't pray for their children. It's a sad day when a grandma and grandpa won't pray for their grandchildren. And I can go on to say this. I'm not there yet, but Brother Fred is. It's bad whenever great-grandparents don't pray for their great-grandchildren. Amen. Somebody's got to be on the prayer level with God and be in the prayer room with God. Our children need prayer. Amen. Our families need prayer. We dealt with having family altar to alter the family. How to have family altar and how to set some time aside and pray and ask God to help the family. How to deal with that, how to do that. Read your Bible, read a verse of Scripture, and talk about things that Scripture means to you and how it touches your heart. We dealt with those things, dealing with the key of prayer. I want to say tonight, once again, we certainly do need to pray as a family. Amen. Our families need prayer. Preacher, I'm not having any problems in my life. Everything's good. My friend, you by all means need to be on your knees in prayer. Amen. If everything's going well, everything's peachy king, then you're a great big target for the devil. Amen. Temptation is knocking on your door. It's on its way. We need prayer. God heads us up. God protect us. Amen. God keep us together as a family. I know the devil certainly would like to tear our churches apart. He'd like to rip our churches out of our communities and destroy our communities. And he does that through the home, through the family, destroying the homes, destroying the marriages, destroying the children. My soul, how our children need some godly mamas and daddies. Our children need to see that our mamas and daddies have a happy biblical marriage. Our children need to see that in this marriage it's not a lustful thing that draws us together. For the world is teaching them how to pull together and come together in lustful situations. At 13-year-olds having children, that's ungodly. That's a shame. Some mom and daddy somewhere has dropped the ball on their children, teaching them right from wrong. We need some praying mamas and daddies. I realize in the world we're living in, we're not going to see everybody live a happy biblical marriage. But for one, for our church, I want the children of this church to see individuals and homes and families that make up this church living in a happy biblical marriage. I'm happy in my marriage. Many years ago, my wife worked in a sewing mill in some windbag, lack of better words. went up to my wife and asked her, "Are you married or are you happy?" She real quickly responded, "I'm happily married." Amen. Listen, what was that? I'll tell you what that was. That was temptation. That was the devil putting someone before her. Don't think because you're a Christian, you're saved, that God won't, or the devil won't put something before you. Because he'll do it. Just because we're saved and because we go to church don't mean we're exempt. The devil wants to destroy us. Our families need to see a happy biblical marriage. Amen. There's going to be conflict. There's going to be disagreements. How we handle that is what's most important. Last of all, the sixth key is Christ. It's the greatest of all these keys is Christ. Christ wants to be Lord and Savior of us, as, of course, as an individual. Then He wants to be Lord of our marriage. He wants to be Lord of our life. If He is Lord of our marriage, then the home that we're building will abide in lasting peace and blessings. If He's not the spiritual head of your home, you'll find that you will never experience all the blessings that God has for you in your marriage. Jesus said in John 15, verse number 5, "Without me, ye can do nothing." Why can't we have the happy marriage? Why can't we have sweetness in our home? Why does the home have to be so much bickering and fussing and arguing? You know, there's some people, that's the way they live. I mean, it's a fuss and an argument from the time they get up to the time they go to sleep. I don't want to live like that. Amen. I'm glad I can wake up in the morning, roll over, and see a beautiful woman there with me. Amen. She don't fuss. She don't throw me out of the bed. She don't hit me upside the head with a frying pan. Amen. That's a blessing. I don't treat her that way neither. I try to be good to her. The test of all marital behavior in relationship to Christ should be, is it done with His approval? In our relationship, are we doing what is pleasing unto the Lord? The Scripture teaches us in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, "And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." In our marital relationship, are we doing what is pleasing to the Lord? When that conflict comes and you want to scream and shout and get mad at each other, ask yourself, am I doing what's pleasing to the Lord? It's been many a time conflict would come. One party would look at the other party. It's your fault. If you hadn't have said this, or you hadn't have done that, we wouldn't have this problem. Maybe you should be saying, "Lord, am I doing what's pleasing in your sight?" In our relationship, we certainly need the Lord. Christ is interested in every area of our life. The physical area, the spiritual area, the emotional area, and certainly the financial area. One of the greatest problems in a marriage, this is historically studied, one of the greatest problems in marriage. The first thing people think of is fornication or adultery. That is not the number one cause of problems in a marriage. Number one cause of problems in a marriage is financial. Financial trouble. That causes many families to be separated. God's interested in the area of your finances. You think about that as we talk about a happy biblical marriage. A lot of times the arguments or the conflicts is over money. "Why'd you buy that for?" "Because I want it." You better be careful. You're fixing to have some problems. Don't be selfish. I'm trying to help us tonight. Amen. There's nothing wrong with having things as long as things don't have you. As long as it don't cause problems. Our finances, God's interested. He's interested in helping our family be happy. Not only loving each other and being happy, but being happy in our finances. That'll help you. Every area in your life, physical, spiritual, emotional, and financial, Christ is interested. Living in accordance with His will as revealed in His Word is the most important thing you can do to ensure a happy, biblical marriage. Christ must have preeminence. He must be number one. These things in John chapter 15, verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. It's good to have a family that has joy and happiness in it. Those are the six keys to a happy biblical marriage. I hope they help you. All those sermons, I do believe, is on the sermon audio. This one will be added to that. If you didn't get all those, we do have them recorded. These things, I hope, help you if we just let God speak to our hearts. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege you've given us tonight, Lord, to be back in your house. I thank you, Lord, for the precious word of God. Lord, tonight as we look at this greatest key, being Christ, to have a happy biblical marriage. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus Christ, our Savior. Lord, for all the husbands that are lost and undone without Christ, I pray, Lord, you'd help them see their need of a Savior. For the women, the wives, Lord, in marriages throughout the world, in churches all around, the wives are lost and undone without Christ. I pray, God, that they'll come to that realization and see they need a Savior. The families that represent Heritage Baptist Church, I pray, God, we'll take these six keys and apply them to our families and to our life. And Lord, we'll pray, and Lord, we'll show kindness, and Lord, we'll have communication. We'll utilize all these keys. We may be happy and joyous. Thank you, Father, for loving us, and thank you for the precious Word of God. Help us to be all we can be for the cause of Christ. We'll thank you and praise you for what you do. In Jesus' loving name we pray. Amen. And amen. I hope it's a help to you tonight. Pray for the service on Thursday. Good night, good week, God bless. If you have any time Thursday evening to come and maybe help, I don't know that we'll need a lot of help, but if you want to come a little early and try to get some things prepared for supper, that'd be great. If you want to bring something, that'd be great. You don't have to, but that's pretty much all I have.